And welcome back to Eye to the Sky, the UFO synopsis here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Dee Andrew, and tonight my guest is Joe Montaldo. And we started out discussing mainly UFOs in the news, and he's kind of strayed off, but that's okay. That happens. Joe, another thing I wanted to touch on news-wise was you have all these countries coming forward with freedom of information documents. The British MOD, has come forward. France, from my understand here recently, the MOD went public and said that they were going to release more of their documents in all this. Do you see any of this documentation that's being released by all these different countries, Mexico, Brazil, I hear Belgium is also going to be releasing documents and all this. Do you think that's going to do any good?
Now that's a tough question, Dee. Is for the fact that it, in some ways it's going to help. Because any time that a major news media or just Joe Smo surfing the internet sees, oh, look, Great Britain released information on UFOs, or France released information on UFOs, it makes them think, well, what these countries saying they actually have information that they're going to release, they're not denying it. I mean, they're not out there saying that ET exists and everything else, but they're not denying that, you know, this stuff has happened and they have this information. So that it helps wake up people, you know, it helps more people realize that this is a real phenomenon, it's not, you know, a bunch of crazy people. So it helps in that way, but as far as, is it going to help put pressure on our government? No, I don't think it's going to. I think our government, and there's a couple of reasons for this. One, and I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, some of these reasons I agree with. One of the primary reasons our government's not going to go blabbing about this to us is they have a vested interest in keeping the technology, basically to the United States. They want to keep it here. They don't want to really share, and if they go public with this, sooner or later they're going to have to share this technology or it's going to start a war. Because other countries are going to get really hostile and really upset that the U.S. has all this advanced technology and we're not sharing it. See, right now, most countries know we're quite a bit more advanced than they are technologically, but they think it's a natural progression, you know, from the wars and stuff like that, just U.S. building up. If they were to find out there was an outside source, there would be a real big problem. So that's one of the reasons why the government's not going to disclose it. It's really to their best interest. But the government's not going to deny it either. You're not going to ever get a president to say categorically that aliens don't exist. It won't happen. You'll never, ever have one that says that. You'll never have a congressman or a senator to say that. They're going to always take the middle road here. The only way I think you'll ever see the government come forward is if simply 250 million Americans decide that they want to know the truth, or something happens that it cannot be played off. You know, a down craft in New York City, a caught extraterrestrial, or simply the aliens decide to show themselves. Those things can't be played off because there'll be too much press coverage. So they'll have to, you know, admit it. But I think that's the only way you're going to get it to happen. It's going to have to be forced. You're not going to get them. And I really, to be honest with you, I don't even think if all 300 million Americans wrote into Congress and said we want to know the truth, I still don't think we would find them. I just don't. This is one of those secrets that until the aliens force the issue, I don't think the government needs to disclose it. I just don't. Not me personally, but I mean, I don't think they'll feel they have a need to disclose anything until the aliens decide to disclose it. Because really, without alien disclosure, even government disclosure doesn't mean anything. The government can come out tomorrow and say, well, we know they exist, but can they prove it? Do they have craft? Do they have alien bodies for sure? And are the aliens going to actually let them keep them if they decide to go public with them? So these are all things that have to go into these questions as well, and it makes it really hard. It's what I said, it's a really hard question, because I do feel in some ways countries coming forward are going to help disclose this, but I do think in other ways it's going to make the U.S. tighten its grip, because then it's confirming what the U.S. already knew. We're the only one that knows. Because none of these other countries know. If they did, they would be saying, I mean, if they're disclosing their information, they would be saying, hey, look, we know aliens are real, this is what we got. But that's not what they're saying. They're just saying we have information and we're going to disclose it. So it just confirms
the U.S. Personally, I think Russia you know, the former Soviet Union, I guess I should say, you know, you got to stop and think. That's when the Soviet Union was still all together, it was the biggest country on the planet, you know, land-wise. Now, you know, there's claims of multiple UFO crashes here in the state. So why not multiple crashes in the Soviet Union?
Well, see, you know how I am about crashes. Anyway, I got issues with crashes. Let's see, I figure,
and there lies the barb.
Well, because I figure it's like this. You know enough about the Greys and the reptilians and the humans to know that if they don't want us to possess this technology, we're not going to have it. We all know that if they want to come in and take it from us, they can. So that's why I've always had issues with Roswell. Until I talked with Gildas that day, I had issues with Roswell. He presented something else to me that made me think, well, yeah, if it was a shuttlecraft or some kind of transport, that the technology really wasn't that advanced and there was no real need to recover it, they might have left us keep it. But as far as an advanced saucer that we could backwards engineer and catch up with them, no, I don't think they're going to let us have it. Not unless they want us to. I don't think they're going to let us keep something like that. So that's why I've always had issues with crashes. I don't feel, knowing what I know about the way how they abduct people and handle contactees, I don't feel that if it's something they don't want us to have, we're not going to have it. So the Russians may have been craft that went down in Russia, but they may have been retrieved by the aliens, not by the Russians. Now, the Russians have got some really good data on, like, that probe that walked around. There was two of them. I forget the name of the cities. One was in Chernobyl after the disaster. There was a, like, looked like a giant spire, they said. Actually, you know what it sounds like? I don't know if anybody ever watched Johnny Quest as a kid, the cartoon, but they used to have this spider with a big eye with these legs. They described it almost identical to this. On two different occasions, 10 years apart. It came down in one city, got up, it fell at the end of the city, got up, and just started walking through the city. There's actually pictures of it on the internet, you can find it. So the aliens do have an interest in Russia, but I don't think Russia knows as much as the United States does. And I got to be frank with y'all. I really don't think the U.S. knows that much. I think the U.S. has got its hands on some technology like what we were talking about, something that crashed out at Roswell. And, it, you know, to the aliens it might not have been as very advanced, but to us it was extremely advanced. And, you know, we've been working from that. As far as the Eisenhower Treaty, that may be true. But even then, you know, they're giving us very limited technology for access to worldwide abduction. And that's one of the things that's always bothered me about the Eisenhower Treaty. They're going to give us technology so they can abduct our people, but they're not going to give anybody else in the world technology, but they're going to still go ahead and abduct their people. See, something there just didn't ring true to me.
I have a question that was PM'd to me, and it's directed to both of us. It says, how do you both feel sites like YouTube have affected UFO info, and has it been helpful or harmful?
Damn, that's a good question. I like YouTube. I really do. And it's actually been both. It's been very helpful, and it's been somewhat harmful. Some of the stuff on there is obviously hoax and obviously BS. But in that case, you know, if you're somebody new and you're just looking at it and it gets your interest, I don't find that to be a bad thing, even if it is a hoax picture. If it gets the person's interest and makes them go out and start doing the research, I still don't have a problem with it. It's the ones that, you know, people want to portray as hoaxes that they want to try to keep as a real event. You know, it's a hoax. Those kind of bother me. I like YouTube.
I like YouTube also. I've gone there and you know, seen many, you know, clips of UFOs, or also seen many clips of hoaxed UFOs that just highly irritate me, you know, such as the so-called Haiti video and the probe ships that were all over YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
That were obvious, you know, CGI fakes.
Well, you know, I don't know how long YouTube's going to last for. I've been hearing some kind of disturbing information lately about Hollywood and some of the networks may start suing them. There is material on there. It's definitely copyrighted. There's no doubt about it. I've seen material and then it's copyrighted myself. But I think YouTube may end up going the way of Napster if it's not careful. So y'all, you know, think about that. Let, you know, if you're going to use YouTube, you like them, let them know it. You know, let them know. Give them a lot of good press, because if if it gets drug into a court thing, that's what's going to make the deciding difference in the jury's eyes. Do they like it or not? You know, it's not about justice anymore. It's about do you like it or not when it comes to YouTube. So, but there is a lot of rumors about that, and I did catch a CNN special where there's some companies out in Hollywood. Actually, these are documentary companies. These aren't even big companies like the big Hollywood moguls. What's happening is a lot of these documentaries are being taken in the whole realm of field and being put on YouTube. And the person's not getting paid for his work, so of course they're going to start suing YouTube. And YouTube's going to have to take them down, but if they get too many lawsuits on them, the government will just close them down, or the justice system will just close them down. I'd hate to see that happen, because I do think YouTube is a good place to post a video. I think it's great for the fact that if you're out, ladies and gentlemen, and you've got your video camera and you get a picture of something, you can get it, go home, get on your computer, download it to YouTube, and have it posted within 15 minutes. And the whole world can start viewing it. And if it's something really outstanding, millions of people go through YouTube. So, a lot of people will see it. It might catch, the interest of one of the investigators, who will probably start hounding you after that. But still. So I do think it's a good thing. I do. I just don't want to see it go bye-bye.
Well, yeah, I agree. It is a good information site if you stop and think about it. And I agree about the pirated documentaries that are on there, because, like David Zureta said when I had him on my show a couple of weeks ago, that he funded all of his documentaries out of his own pocket. All the production costs and everything out of his own pocket. And on NASA UFO Best Evidence documentary, the whole thing was on YouTube for free.
Yeah.
And, and I personally thought it was, a good documentary. On the STS-80 something, I think, footage with the tethered satellite. And he shows valid scientific evidence that, what NASA says it was wasn't what NASA said it was. he was going on about finding that on YouTube, and he's going, wait a minute, here's all these people all over the planet seeing my work for free when it's copyrighted and should be on YouTube, and he did get YouTube to take it off.
Yeah, well, I imagine if you call or write and harass them enough, they'll take it down, but that's if you're aware that your work's there. How many people are you going to know if it's there or not, unless you actually go look? A lot of these guys, let's be honest, a lot of these guys probably aren't even using the internet, the ones that are doing a lot of these documentaries. So until someone tells them it's there, they don't know. They're wondering why, man, this is a good documentary. Why is this thing selling? Well, everybody's getting it for free. That's why.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing. I don't know how they're going to tame this thing on the internet, because I don't want to see everything being charged on the internet either. I'm like everybody else. I'd like to see everything kind of stay basically cheap or free. But with the music industry having the problems they are with the internet and the movie industry and now the documentaries and videos, and it's making it hard, because what are you going to do? If somebody puts it on the internet, everybody can get a copy of it.
Yep.
So, what are you really going to do about it? I don't know how they're going to control that. I guess what they can start doing is companies like YouTube can pay an exorbitant amount of money and everybody can get a piece of the pie. There's different people with stuff posted there, and the advertisers can pay for it, and it'll still be free for all. Otherwise than that, I don't know what the hell they're going to do about it, because I don't see how you can stop this pirating. I don't think you're going to ever be able to stop it, not unless you're going to monitor everything that goes on the internet, and that seems like a pretty big job for somebody.
Internet police.
Congress has talked about it, but what will happen is if they start policing the internet, people will stop using it. It's that simple. They'll use it for basic stuff, but they're not going to use it for the kind of things that we use it for now. And they kind of proved that in China when they took off some of the restraints in China's internet. It quadrupled the amount of people using it overnight. But before that, when they were policing every person that got on, less than 5% of China's population was using it. that tells you something right there. People don't want to be police while they're using the internet. And if you're going to start watching everything that goes on and every text message, every voice communication, Lord, I can't even think of what kind of resources it would take to do that. You'd have to put the whole Pentagon stay on.
Yes. And then, you know, going back to the video clips themselves, there are so many on there that are fake. You know, what do you tell the average individual who's perusing, you know, all these clips from YouTube, trying to learn something or, you know, trying to study the subject, and they're taken in by fake videos?
Yeah, well, I see that's another bad thing, because there are a lot of CGI and a lot of the little rookie CGIers like to, you know, put their stuff up on YouTube. I noticed that. Now, for people like us, it's not as bad, because we can kind of tell right off the bat, you know, this isn't real. But, you know, for the lame and just getting into the field, yeah, it's easy to be fooled by stuff like that. And what happens is, and you know this as well as I do, you know, we learned this on the iCar site about 7 years ago. We posted 100 pictures on the page. One of them was a hoax. All the rest, as far as we know, were real pictures. Everybody always remembers the hoax and not the 99 real pictures. So, and that's the thing, you know, once a person realizes it's a hoax, is it going to be enough to dissuade them from, you know, still looking into this field further or not? And I guess that's going to be on how much evidence, you know, if they see three or four videos on YouTube and they all turn out to be hoaxes, then yeah, that might dissuade somebody from wanting to look any further. You know, they'll be like, well, I'm wasting my time. Everything I see is a hoax. So that'll actually hurt us. Hopefully, though, that won't happen. I'm hoping that most people are smart enough, or I'm giving people the benefit of the doubt that they're smart enough that, you know, they'll look at the videos, they'll do some internet searching, you know, they'll maybe check out some of the ufologists and see what they got to say about it before they actually come to any conclusions on that. Because, yeah, there is a lot of fake stuff out there. A lot of it.
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Don't be dying over there now.
Oh, don't you hate it when you take your breath to say something and breathe, swallow wrong in the process and start choking?
Yeah, it's rough when you're hosting.
Exactly. Sorry about that.
But, you know, we can all hope that Hillary Clinton gets in, you know, and Hillary says, look, I'm the biatch, and I'm also the president biatch, and you're going to tell me this, or I'm going to make all of your lives a living hell, which she can do. Because she can start making Congress question every dollar that goes anywhere, and then all these black ops projects are going to be in trouble. So she might find out, see? You know, she's a little tougher than Bill was. She don't seem to be willing to take as much garbage as he did. She seems to be a little bit more, I'm a bitch. And I'm not even trying to hide it. I don't know what kind of president she's going to make, but I got to tell y'all, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is a political show, but Hillary scares the daylights out of me, all right? She just does. I think she might be the Antichrist, and if she's not, Obama definitely is. One of the two of them is the Antichrist, I'm telling y'all. They're scaring me. Oh, Lord. It's kind of funny, you know? I mean, we all know Hillary has a pretty strong interest in ufology. They didn't let it go, even when they were told to let it go. Well, they kind of let it go, but they still were, you know, poking around, nosing around, even after they got out of the White House. So, you know, she might be the one. Maybe Stephen knows something we don't know. Maybe Hillary's going to be president. She's going to call Stephen Bassett up to the White House and say, look what I got. Yeah, Stephen would have a heart attack and die right there. I don't know. Then again, she might find out what it is and say, oh, shucks. We are in deep doo-doo, and oh, man, I wish I wouldn't know this now.
I've got another question for you. What kind of progress is ICAR making, and also do you think contactees will start figuring in more prominently in all of this?
Well, contactees already figure prominently in what ICAR does. Kind of to us, it's the best interest to have the contactees working closely with us. So there, I think so. I do think over the next couple of years, ufology is slow moving, guys. I'm sorry, and I have nothing to do with that. But I do think over the next couple of years, you will start seeing more and more people becoming more aware of the contactees. And there is a contactee movement, by the way, in case y'all didn't know that, and they are pushing ufology to accept them. That's why people like Mary Rodwell and Yvonne Smith and Leah Haley and them are being so widely well accepted now, is because there is a push, there is a need to know about contactees and what kind of knowledge they possess. As far as the progress ICAR is making, ICAR, the last 2 years for ICAR have been phenomenal, is the only way I can say it. And growth as far as our membership, you know, we passed up MUFON, which made me just tickled pink. As far as our acceptance and the information that we contain, ufology seems to accept us as a credible research organization inside of ufology these days, and a lot of ufologists want to work closely with us or work closely with us and share information with us on a pretty regular basis. So the organization itself has made outstanding leaps and bounds. As a matter of fact, while we're on this subject, I was saving this for our directors meeting, ladies and gentlemen, so y'all get to hear this the same time some of the directors hear this tonight. You know, we did a local meeting just recently for ICAR here in Louisiana and New Orleans, and it went off quite well, by the way. I was very happy with it. It's something over the next year or two we're going to start getting either state directors or section directors and stuff like that to do, because it's fairly inexpensive, and it's a good way to meet people who are locally involved, and it's also a good way to get support for the organization. So people who are listening to us tonight, that is something you can start looking forward to in certain areas of the United States. We already have a couple of volunteers for it, so we'll see how it works. But it's something that, you know, we've been wanting to offer, but it's hard, guys. We all work. We all have lives. We all do other stuff. You know, a lot of us work for Paranormal Radio and ICAR, plus we have our own jobs and our own lives. So free time is kind of a fantasy thing, all right? It really
Amen
is.
To that.
You know, it's kind of a fantasy thing. And then when we do have free time, you know, I have a wife that every now and then would like me to take her somewhere. you know, things like that, you know, guys. So, like I said, there's not much in the way of free time these days. But it is something that we will be looking to implement in the 2008 year. It's something that will take some time, because we got to get a couple other people in key places to do this. But you should start seeing them in different cities around the U.S., I'd say, by summertime. There's also going to be some other stuff that's upcoming, but I can't tell you all that until I talk to the directors about it. I don't want to get lynched. But there are some things, other things we're planning on that I think for the local communities y'all will really enjoy. You know, we've been talking with some of our fellow ufologists and friends lately, which we have a lot of these days. And a lot of them are willing to help ICAR. Well, it's kind of like sponsoring local conferences. It's not like a conference. It's more like a get-together, I guess I would say. It'll never be more than 100 people. It'll never be less than like 50. But there are certain ufologists around the United States that would like to do small engagements like that. They would like to come and sit and talk, like Jim Sparks, Daryl Sims, quite a few others that I can think of right offhand. Even some of the ones out in California, like Dr. Lear and a few others, have expressed interest and doing things like this, so that the local communities can get to meet them personally, not cost them a fortune to have to travel across the United States, as Dee and I both well know it would cost to attend these conferences, and TRMT, who attends, Tree Sheridan, who attends way more than any of us. You know, this is something that will allow the local communities to get more involved, meet these people personally, ask questions personally to the people, and you know, it'll give them a much more sense of being involved in the community, which is what we need, because the community in whole has to grow. ICAR is growing fine on its own. None of this is for ICAR's advantage or growth. This is to help out the general ufology community expand, so that more people will be aware of what we're doing, and more people, you know, the more people that know, the better off everybody is. Because sooner or later, there's going to become a mass large enough to get some kind of disclosure, whether it's from ET or the government, but somewhere along the line, it's got to get to that size.
Okay, on the all the reports on sightings that are in the news and whatnot, do you see this as a good thing, as part of, or do you think it's part of the education project,
wait,
I guess you could call it.
Wait, say that again.
All these news reports, be it the sightings for the press conference with Leslie Keen and you know, all the times that Stephen Bassett's been on the news and all this, do you think that this is a good thing, or do you think it's part of this, what a lot of us has referred to as the government education program?
I kind of, that's a tough one, because in one aspect, I do think it's part of the desensitization program. I really do, because I mean, but then some of it I think is coming from awareness. It's like a combination of things going on here right now. Not all of it is good, but a lot of it is. There does seem to be the government desensitization program that's trying to assimilate some of this information out to the public. There's all these ufologists that are working. Now there's activists getting involved, like Stephen Bassett and a few others. And, you know, then, of course, there's exopolitics. So what we're seeing here is our ranks are swelling due to, well, basically specializing, breaking down ufology. And it's drawing more people interested, in, which, of course, is raising the self-awareness, which, of course, is leading back. So you kind of have the two, I guess, are running into each other, what the government's doing and what ufology is doing. And then you have the press that is slowly but surely waking up. I think it's going to be a slow, long process, but I do think they're starting to wake up. So between the three, I think it's raising the overall awareness, which, of course, the more the awareness goes, the more people want to know, the easier everything gets for us. Well, in theory, anyway. I don't know if it'll necessarily get easy. But you see, for me, I would have to say sightings were down this year. Even though press was up this year, the amount of what I would consider to be legitimate sightings was way down, actually. From 2006, I'd say we had half the sightings that we had prior. So I don't know if that's from the 911 thing, you know, because right after 911 until about 2006, there was a pretty consistent amount of sightings being reported every week around the world, but I don't know if people went back to looking at their feet instead of looking at the sky again, or if it simply slowed down.
Do you think that exopolitics will figure into the UFO topic more prominently in the coming year, or do you think it's just the latest fad?
You just want me to talk about exopolitics, don't you? My problem, okay. Exopolitics, in one way, I think is a really, really, really good thing. Okay, it's putting a political spin to ufology, and it's drawing in people who might come in because of the political implications of this. But on the other hand, it suggests that we haven't had contact yet, that we're establishing the parameters for contact. Well, come on, guys, that's BS. We've been having contact for 6,000 plus years. So I think there needs to be some kind of fundamental change here. I mean, we can still have exopolitics and talk about, you know, when we have an official, you know, disclosure, when it's going to be a press meeting, this, you know, Stephen Bassett or Michael Sala meeting the alien with George Bush or whoever is president at the time, you know, Hillary Clinton, whatever. I can see, you know, setting up parameters for that and guidelines and where we want to take this relationship once it becomes public. But in reality, there is this other underlying thing going on. There's abductions and contacts going on, and this is in the private sector. So, you know, I think exopolitics in general leaves that sector out of this. I don't think that's a good thing, because I think somewhere along the line it's going to come back and bite them, and you know what. I'm kind of torn.
I have found there, you know, this is just my own observation, when it comes to exopolitics, there's two camps.
Mm-hmm.
There's the love, light, space brothers, coming to help us and yada yada yada, you know, and all the feel good things. And then there's the actual political activism end of it.
Yeah. Well, no, there's actually three then. Because fundamentally Stephen Bassett is different than Alfred Weber. And Alfred Weber is fundamentally different than Michael Sala. So There's the Stephen Bassett camp, which is activist movement, which Alfred Weber does work some way in, but then he's got a distinctive view of the extraterrestrials. Michael Sala has a different view. So it gets kind of sticky wicked up in there. You know, when we say exopolitics, for me and you and most ufologists, we lump all three together and just take what we want out of the three, which is kind of cheating. But for people coming in, they're looking at all three. Who's right here? Well, I like Stephen Bissett. I think what he's doing is a good thing. I like Dr. Michael Song. I don't always agree with the metaphysical side to it because, you know, I'm kind of hard on metaphysics. But, you know, I do agree. Alfred Weber, I just happen to like as a person. You know, I think he's a really nice guy. And I think his political views on this are very astute. But I think some of his other views are, well, let's just say interesting and leave it at that.
We've got a question in the chat room.
Oh, wait. Now, David, they only do probing on Sunday afternoons. Okay, I'm
No. this question is from Linda Kiefer. And she says, have the host or guest made any predictions for 2000? Nope, and personally, I don't make predictions. I don't know about Joe, but I don't.
I do feel though that
the topic is getting out, and I think it's going to become more popular in light of some of the, if nothing else, some of the programs on television that are coming up. You know, like the UFO Hunters that's coming out soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And with History Channel's UFO Files, this last Monday, I think it was, History Channel showed nothing but UFO Files.
Well, let me show my arrogance here. If they have all these things on there, if there's not ICAR members speaking on them, then they're full of you-know-what. hey, look, guys, in most ufologists, you can go ask them yourself. You don't have to take D or myself at your word. If you go ask any ufologists out there when it comes to abduction research who's the forerunners and who you should be talking to, they're going to point you right back to us. Matter of fact, when I was doing the interview with Craig, it was so funny doing an interview with Craig Lane, by the way. I can't wait to have you back on. We were at the break. He goes, yeah, I think I might be a little bit out of my league here.
don't get Craig wrong, though. He has done some really good work.
He's done some excellent work. That's why he wants to hook up with us, because he figures he can learn a lot more. Actually, his words was that he can sharpen his knowledge and write these books much clearer, which is true. He can. I told him, as long as you acknowledge it, I don't care. You can write whatever you want. Just one of the things.
Speaking of Craig Ling in his books, he's sending us a copy of his latest book, and I'm sorry, Craig, but I can't remember the name of it, darn it. But it's the companion book to Cosmic Bridges.
Now, you know,
or Cosmic Bridge, rather, his book on abductions. And I'm anxiously awaiting it to get here so I can read it. So I read Cosmic Bridge and I enjoyed it. I thought the guy is doing really good work. He's, I think, on the right track.
Yeah, he is. He just, you know, he just didn't realize when he was talking to me, he just didn't realize there was anybody out there like us, is what it was. He didn't realize that there was people who were actually doing the amount of, and the depth amount of research that we're doing. It just kind of floored him, because when we were talking, you know, a couple of times, he was kind of like, because he started asking me questions like, oh, no, we can't be having this. Now. I'm the host, you're the guest.
Well, here's an interesting question that was PM'd to me. Do you guys think that other countries will keep leading the way in UFO information as France and Mexico have?
Oh, and I see, I don't agree with that. I think the U.S. is the leading research in UFO and abduction investigation.
Countries, not UFO organizations, countries.
Well, I do think that other countries will come, you know, forward this coming year. I think you'll see two or three more of them come out this year. But I still don't think it's going to do any good. I think it'll do good in the fact there'll be more data, but I don't think it's going to change anybody's opinions about ufology. I think it's going to still have the same stigmas it has now. We need something. Unfortunately, you really need something tangible. You need, like, a craft or an alien or something along those lines. we can compile data for the next 100 years, and yeah, eventually everybody on the planet will say, well, yeah, they exist, but the government still will deny it because we haven't got anything to force their hand with. Data's all fine, but, you know, you can always find it. For every one thing of data you can always find its opposite. So it makes it tough in that retrospect. So I do expect to see a couple of countries come forward this year. Actually, I think there's going to be two countries that come forward that will be quite surprising. One of them is quite a large country. It's going to agree to release its data. And it's like when Brazil released this. Brazil had some good information that came out, was it 2003 or 2002? They had some really good information, but it didn't change. It didn't even change ufology. You know, it just, I don't know. I don't know why it doesn't, but it should. But it doesn't seem to make any difference. It makes a difference to people like me and you, but it doesn't seem to change the world's view on this. And I think that's because, like France or Brazil or the UK, okay, well, we're releasing this information, but they're not giving a formal statement. In other words, France didn't say, look, we're releasing this information, and we think extraterrestrials are real. See, until they do that, it's not going to matter. Now, if countries start saying they think this is a real phenomenon when they're releasing the information, then you'll start to see a fundamental change in attitude around the country, well, around the world. But I just don't think any of them are going to do it. And I think that has a lot to do with politics and, you know, having to stay friends with the U.S.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. Do you have any last thoughts over anything that transpired over the last year?
Well, I got a couple of thoughts on like, you know, D'Andrew making national director. You know, I thought that was a really good addition this year. And you know, a couple of others that came on board with us this year. I also think, you know, signing up Mary Rodwell with ICAR as an associate with this big thing, and Yvonne Smith, which allows our, you know, members to have access to them. Well, not our members, but our directors and, you know, things like that, investigators to have access to them. I think Katarina Wilson endorsing it back in ICAR and what it's doing is a wonderful thing, along with UFO Magazine and Elaine Douglas. You know, those kind of things to me, when I look at the year in ufology, are the most important to me because, you know, we are a big chunk of ufology these days. And for ICAR to be making those kind of inroads and those kind of positive steps shows that there is room for change in ufology. And you know what, guys? We might get to the truth one of these days. Maybe. Hopefully. yes, she is ICAR's national director. She took the job from me this year, matter of fact. And so far, I've just been aggravating the crap out of her. Excuse my French, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think, you know, I aggravate you too at times. Because, you know, like, one of ICAR's deals is, yes, we agree to disagree because no two people are going to agree, you know, 100% on anything. Everybody has their own views and whatnot. And, you know, Joe, you and I we're good friends.
Oh, yeah.
And but then again, there's a lot of things that we disagree about, and we're good with that.
Yeah. That's a good point. And that's why you'll hear us when we're doing radio interviews or guesting or hosting. You'll hear us say, you know, sometimes you'll hear us mention this is ICAR's opinion. Sometimes you'll hear us say it's our opinion. And that's why, because we don't always agree. So it's like when I came out with the Betty and Barney Hill thing. I drove poor Dee and David, Treese, and November and a few others insane because I wanted them to show me where I was irrefutably wrong so I could leave this alone. But, you know, so this went on for a few months before it actually we released it to the general public. And since then, it's been just kicking people off one after another. Oh, that was
okay. And on that note, we are out of time.
Ooh, we are. Well, guys, I want to tell you thanks for bringing me on. I had a lot of fun. Everybody, hang out.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate you coming on and helping discussing this last year in UFOs and all. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'll tell everybody thanks. I'm getting ready to get out of here. Dee, thanks again for having me on. Everybody, join ICAR.
Yes, join ICAR. Go to www.icar1.com and click on the Join ICAR icon. And on that note, that's all the time we have for tonight. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and also thank all those who joined us in the Palfox Auditorium. Stay tuned for Voice of the People, hosted by November Hansen. Tonight, her guest will be author Jim Mars.
Cool.
So join us again next Saturday on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network for another episode of Eye to the Sky, the UFO Synopsis. Until then, keep an eye to the sky, everyone. Good night.